Please rise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste now, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.
Almighty God,
Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you through my own fault, in thought, word, and deed. For the sake of the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, forgive me all my sin, and bring me to everlasting life.
Seated. Would you please keep your hymn books open to page 108 and follow along with the Beatitudes during the homily, and then we will join in speaking them together as the canticle this morning. Fellow saints, in the name of Christ Jesus our Savior, the Beatitudes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount are among the most quoted, best-known portions of Scripture. They are lauded as a remarkable example of the ethics of humility and self-sacrifice and meekness and peacefulness. And yet, if we hear those words of the Beatitudes as commands from Jesus as to how we ought to live and what we must do, then they can't really do anything except strike deep terror into our hearts. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Who wants that? Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you. And these all describe what I am completely incapable of doing and being by my own power. The world and our own flesh may find these statements attractive. And sometimes we can even fool ourselves into thinking that we are meek and merciful and peacemakers, and that we suffer ridicule and persecution without striking back. But of course, we probably skip a little bit too quickly over, blessed are the pure in heart. And that, in fact, is the key to these Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart. Is there anyone who truly is pure in heart? Can anyone be truly pure in heart? No, not in this life. And yet, Jesus speaks these words to those who are pure in heart. And how can that be? It is because of this great truth which really lies underneath the Beatitudes, a statement that you all know very well, at the same time saint and sinner, simul justus et peccator. For the Christian, this is the highest reality of existence. It is the great promise and comfort of our Lord Jesus that he brings to us sinners, sinners according to the flesh, as we live and work in this world. He speaks that to us, that in his sight we are saints with the purest of hearts. The believers who dwell on earth are indeed saints. They are blessed. They are great. They have all power in Christ. They are rich beyond measure. Even in this world, they are, in God's sight, pure, holy saints, perfectly righteous as they stand before their God. That is not so because Christians are morally better, morally more perfect and more pure than those who are around them. God judges his saints to be saints now because he sees not our sin, but he sees the righteousness of his only begotten Son. Through faith in our God's promises, he has clothed us in the pure righteousness and holiness of Christ our Lord, so that we are one with the saints in heaven who have left behind the pain and the sorrow and the sin of this world. And this is what Jesus describes for us in the Beatitudes. The saints of God who live yet with their flesh and bones in this world are the poor in spirit, those who stand before God in utter humility, knowing that they have nothing at all of their own with which to make themselves good and holy, but their God declares them to be holy. The true saints mourn and are filled with sorrow over their sin, but they are comforted with their Lord's promise. They hunger and thirst after righteousness. They hear the voice of Jesus say, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and they see it fulfilled when God declares them righteous for Jesus' sake. The saints trust the voice of their Savior, who calls them to look to his righteousness for their salvation. They believe that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for them. They believe that God has reconciled the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. Jesus wants his saints to know that in this world, though they live under suffering, there is rejoicing for them in heaven. They are poor, and yet they possess all things in Christ. They are sorrowful, and yet they have pure joy in Christ, who has taken away their sins. They are meek, and yet in Christ they own the whole world. They are conquered, and they are persecuted, and they are despised, and yet they are victorious in Christ. With all the saints, we rejoice and are exceedingly glad in hungering and thirsting after righteousness, in suffering and in persecution. Believe the promises of God, who has blessed you and who has saved you and who has given you full and perfect holiness in Christ. Amen. Please rise for the responsory.
O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. Jesus Christ, bright Son of the world, shine upon my spirit and drive away the night of sin, that I may walk in your holy light all my life and even forevermore.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn.
The Lord Almighty ordered this day and all our doings